good morning. It's so good to see all of you on this first Sunday in Advent, and we want to welcome all of you, and we are glad that you're with us today as we enter into this new season. This is the first Sunday in the new calendar year for the church, and not necessarily Lost Creek Church, but church worldwide as it follows along with the seasons. Make sure you note some of the additions and corrections there in the bulletin. You're going to need to use the back side of your bulletin today later on and some other things. And also, there's going to be some responsiveness from you, the congregation, today during the Advent readings here in just a moment. So we want to, again, welcome all of you. We are glad that you're with us today. And we want to welcome all of those that may be listening online later on. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about how do we orient ourselves in the direction of hope, So as we begin our service today, let us stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. Advent is a time for waiting.
We wait for God, who appears like the righteous branch growing from the sun.
Advent is a time for hoping.
We wait for God, who is our righteousness.
Advent is a time for worship. Well, let's join together there and open up our first hymn this morning, hymn number 89, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. We're only doing verses 1 and 2 today. Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song. God, our Maker, doth supply for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto His grace to yield. We join together there for our opening prayer this morning in the bulletin. Loving God, as we enter this Advent season, come into our lives again and show us how to hope in the face that is all discouraging. For we gather in the name of hope made flesh, Jesus Christ, your promise and our desire. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And Roger is coming this morning to share with us in our Advent candle this morning. Oh, there we go. So the underlined italics part is where we respond.
People of hope, God desires people to remember the ancient promises and hold fast to the vision of heaven and earth made new.
Make us those hopeful people.
God longs for people who will not let discouragement be the last word, but who wait for God's word.
Make us those hopeful people.
God yearns for people who push back against the dark lie of hopelessness. God's call to hope transforms the world.
Make us those hopeful people.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate that. Well, I'm going to invite our kids to come down this morning, if they would join me.
Prepare ourselves to wait. How do you prepare yourself to wait for Christmas? What do you think? Yawning? Oh, you keep looking at your clock. Okay, yeah. Keep looking to say, man, when's the time going to go by? You wonder if it's never going to happen. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I know. Sometimes that's true. And we wonder, because sometimes it's like, man, this is taking forever. And you know what? Some of the people back in Jesus' day before he was born, they were waiting 400 years. Can you imagine?
It is four centuries.
And a lot of people died, and their family kept passing down, and then so they kept waiting. But then, at that right time, God sent Jesus into the world. Sometimes we get to see what we're waiting on. Sometimes we don't always get to. But we still wait and we still trust God. And that's what Advent's about. So we prepare our hearts by continuing to trust God no matter what's going on. Okay? All right. You guys can go downstairs, those of you that are going down this morning. And we're going to go to our time of prayer.
And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning. We're going to have to kind of move through quickly because we have a communion today and everything else. So if you have a joy or concern, let's begin. Good. Thank God for that. That's great. Thank God. And then the unspoken one. Yeah. Someone else. Someone else this morning. Joys or concerns? Yes.
They're telling me that Becky's been exposed to COVID and she's not feeling good. So prayers for Becky, or my sister. And then Linda Baker asked me to lift up Sandy Williams. That's Tim's wife. She goes tomorrow at the Cleveland Clinic to have surgery on her hand.
Thank you. Yes, Tim was sharing something at school a couple weeks ago about that. And so we definitely want to keep Sandy in our prayers. Did you say anybody else after Sandy?
No, but I have my daughter. She's got COVID and she's not doing, she's really sick.
Okay, and that's Tammy.
Yes.
Okay. Someone else. Yes. Okay.
And then Pat and Ben Dustin, and really, we need to add Mike Dustin too. Pat and Ben are in the hospital, and they are having a terrible time with their oxygen levels. And Mike Dustin is in the hospital too. And we need to pray for Betty Bear and, of course, Betty Cook.
Yes. Okay, so we want to pray for them as they're traveling. We want to remember Ben, Pat, and Mike, who's battling COVID, and Bill, who's recovering from surgery, but we'll have to go back in for more. Someone else this morning. There's several we want to remember. We want to keep Richard Walker in our prayers. I talked to him this week. He is going in, I believe it's December 1st. And it's either the first or second, I can't remember, but I think it's the first, and he's going to have surgery on his neck. He has a pinched nerve, and that's why he's had weakness in his arms and legs. When he saw the surgeon last week, the surgeon says, "You are lucky you are not paralyzed from your neck down." And so we want to remember him in our prayers. And he's going to be having surgery on Wednesday. Jennifer Irwin, we want to remember her as she's recovering from surgery. Everything went well. I texted back and forth with her several times, getting through that pain there on that initial 24 hours period there. But we want to keep her in our prayers. We want to continue praying for Betty and also for Tom. Any others then this morning before we go to prayer? This morning, yes. Oh, yes, thank you. I want to appreciate your prayers for my brother Mike. We had gotten a text from Melanie that his defibrillator had gone off several times, shocking his heart. Come to find out that his electrolytes and magnesium, thank you. I think it was the magnesium was off. But he is there. He's in the hospital. They're going to keep him till tomorrow, they'll be adjusting his medicines. So I'd appreciate your prayers for him. Anybody else then this morning? All right. So we have all of those that we want to remember. So as she plays this morning, Carla does, I'll give you a chance to pray there quietly in your seats, and then I will close us out. Today, we just want to thank you for your goodness in our lives. We want to thank you for your grace and your presence that goes with us. And as we enter this Advent season of preparation, as we're reminded of that season in which everything that took place leading up to Jesus's birth into our world, we're thankful for all that you do in our lives. We're thankful for how you direct and guide and work in various ways, and that you help us to walk in your ways and be obedient at times to help to make a difference in someone else's life. We're grateful that we can always turn to you in our time of need and pray. So we lift up those that have been mentioned today. We lift up Ben and Pat and Mike and Becky that are and Tammy that are all battling COVID, God. We just ask for your healing touch, your healing grace. Thank you so much for the doctors that are working and the medicines. Lord, we just pray for your grace and strength in those situations and what they're facing right now. We lift up Bill, who just is recovering from surgery, and we ask that you would continue to bring healing to that wound that he has. And then as he goes back in to have more surgery, Lord, that you'll just continue to guide the surgeons. Thank you for them and their abilities that you've given them. And we just ask for your grace. And Lord, we lift up a Sandy who's going in for surgery for this aneurysm. God, we just ask that you would guide and direct and be with them, with her, and with the surgeons and the staff as they work there. Lord, we lift up Richard to you, God, asking for your healing hand and guiding hand as he goes in for surgery this week. Lord, that you will guide the surgeon and be with them as they work to relieve him of this pinched nerve, and that you will bring healing and grace there. We pray for Mike, Lord, that you'll bring healing to him. Thank you for the doctors and the results there, that they were able to find out what's going on and the adjustments that they're making to be able to make him better. And Lord, we continue to lift up Smoke and Jennifer as they're both recovering from surgery. Thank you that all of those went well. And we just ask for your continued healing touch and grace for them. And we lift up Betty to you, Lord. We're just asking for your continued strength and healing and grace for her. And for Tom, as he's caregiving in the family, Lord, that you'll just continue to give them that grace and strength that they need for each day. We pray for traveling mercies for those that are traveling. At this time, we just pray that you'll watch over them and give them a safe trip. We lift up this unspoken need, Lord, and we ask for your touch there. And we continue to lift up Betty, Lord, Bear, that you will just bring encouragement to her heart and minister to her as only you can do, as we thank you for these things. And Lord, we just ask that you will continue to give guidance and direction in our world as we are facing all of the things that we're facing right now. We continue to pray for peace and strength and grace in the midst of this, and for wisdom and guidance in all that goes on, and that you'll continue to lead. And each one that's here today, Lord, maybe there are some here today that they may have a need that they could not mention. And we just ask that you would meet that need as only you can do, as we thank you for it now and for all of these things, as we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining with us in prayer, and we appreciate that so much. And now, as we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving, we just want to thank you for your faithfulness and your continued support of the ministry here and our outreaches that have been going out, and how we can be a blessing during this time and season. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you. let's join together there for our dedication in the bulletin. Giver of all good gifts, we return to you this day our thanks with these gifts. May they be a light in the darkness and bring forth hope. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture readings this morning are coming from two passages. Both of them are Old Testament passages. First of all, from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. And then our psalm for today, our lectionary psalm, Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. So let's begin with Jeremiah 33. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill my gracious promise with the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous branch from David's line, who will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is what he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. And then from Psalm chapter 25, verses 1 through 10, I offer my life to you, Lord. My God, I trust you. Please don't let me be put to shame. Don't let my enemies rejoice over me. For that matter, don't let anyone who hopes in you be put to shame. Instead, let those who are treacherous without excuse be put to shame. Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach it to me, because you are the God who saves me. I put my hope in you all day long, Lord. Remember your compassion and faithful love. They are forever. But don't remember the sins of my youth or my wrongdoing. Remember me only according to your faithful love, for the sake of your goodness, Lord. The Lord is good and does the right thing. He teaches sinners which way they should go. God guides the weak to justice, teaching them his way. All the Lord's paths are loving and faithful for those who keep his covenant and laws. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart will be pleasing in God's sight. Amen and amen. Well, a sheriff had pulled up right next to a guy unloading garbage out of his pickup truck into the ditch. The sheriff asked, "Why are you dumping the garbage into the ditch?" Well, the sheriff said, "Don't you see that sign right over there?" "Yep," said the man. "That's why I'm dumping it here, because it says fine for dumping garbage." There you go this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about Advent, living in hope. We all have things we're waiting for. A prayer to be answered, a dream to come true, a problem to turn around. And when it takes longer than what we think it should, it's easy to get discouraged at times and become impatient, like I was talking with the kids there a few moments ago. Sometimes, and I want you to think a little bit here about perspective, sometimes maybe it's not happening because we're not yet prepared for it to happen. Or maybe we're not fully prepared for what God has in store and how God maybe wants to answer that prayer or bring about that dream or whatever it may be. Our psalm reading today is one of those orienting psalms. Walter Brueggemann in his books on the Psalms talks about the two aspects that the psalms come with. It's either a psalm where the psalmist is very disoriented about what's happening in life, or it's one of those psalms that's orienting in life, getting us to trust in the Lord. And I think this is so important for us in our reading today, because the psalm challenges us to orient ourselves to trust in God, to prepare ourselves for God. And if you think about it for a moment, that's what Advent is all about, isn't it? Advent is about preparation. Advent is about preparing our hearts for the coming of the Lord into our world. And so I think this morning, the psalm and also the prophet who spoke about the what was going to happen, this righteous branch, this Messiah that was going to come into our world, was going to bring about justice and goodness and love and faithfulness into the land. And so as we think about, as we begin this first Sunday in Advent, and our focus is on hope this morning, I want us to begin by orienting our thinking and ourselves in the direction of hope. Now, I realize that sometimes it's easy to get discouraged in the midst of the circumstances of life, and our hope wanes, or our faith shakes a little, or waiting gets hard. But I want to encourage us in a couple of ways this morning, and by talking about how this kind of happens in our lives in various ways. First of all, I want to talk to you about the offer of living hope. I think God is always putting the offer of hope before us, to live in hope. Or you could say it this way, to wait in hope. Wait in hope. Because sometimes we're living through life and sometimes things happen and sometimes they don't. And sometimes when they don't happen, guess what we got to do? We keep on living, don't we? We keep on walking every day and we continue to hope for what we want to see come to pass, whatever that may be. The psalmist says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my life. To you." What does this mean? What does this all involve here? Well, a couple things I want to say. First of all, it means offering ourselves to God in worship. How do we offer, how do we take a hold of God's offer of hope? How do we take a hold of that aspect of holding on to hope in the midst of the discouragement and the things in life that seems to drag us down? Well, one of the ways we do that is by opening ourselves to God. That's what life's about. That's what Advent is about. Opening ourselves, our very lives, our very souls, our very hearts, our very minds to God. You know, in Israelite culture, this meant lifting up one's hands and eyes to the Lord. I'm going to say this because I was thinking about it a few moments ago, and I'll pick on Carla for a minute. When she was playing the prelude earlier at the beginning of the service, and Brad was coming down with their granddaughter to help light the candles, I kind of wondered for a moment if Carla was going to mess up the prelude because she was going to take her eyes off of the music and look over to see her granddaughter lighting the candles. But you know what? If she did it, she kept right on playing through there. And you know what? That's the way it is in life, isn't it? Sometimes we take our eyes off of where our focus is to be, and we can get distracted, or we can get discouraged, or we can look at one thing that brings us down and frustrates us, and we forget that we're to keep our eyes up like the Hebrews did. The Israelites were taught to keep your hands and your eyes up, because you kept your eyes up because you were talking to the Lord, and you kept your hands up so that you could receive from the Lord. And that's that expectation and hope. It's interesting that in Luke, I think it's 1, I believe. I don't think it's chapter 2, but I think it's Luke chapter 1, where when Jesus first, or maybe it's a little later, maybe it is Luke chapter 2. I can't remember which one it's in. But anyways, when Jesus is first brought to the temple as a baby to be circumcised and dedicated to the Lord, it says that when the priest Simeon saw him, he lifted his eyes to the heavens and rejoiced and praised God because he knew there was something special about that baby. This is how we attune ourselves to God in the midst. That helps us to wait. That helps us to walk in hope when we're facing things. Then there's this aspect, and this is obvious, trusting in God as we wait on the promises. You know, as I was talking to the kids there a little bit ago, sometimes it can be hard waiting, can it? And I think even as adults, in our instant society, instant for everything, it's so easy for us to just expect it to happen. But oftentimes, life still causes us to wait. And trust is leaning on and waiting in hope on God's promises. The Hebrew word there means, at its root, it's like a rope that has been twisted together. Remember those old, some of you grew up in the barns? My grandpa had several of these ropes. They were about this big around, you know, about a 3/4 of an inch to an inch round in the barn. And they were just twisted cords that were put together to make this big, tough rope, you know, so that it would be strong. And I was thinking about that, that is what happens when we trust in the Lord. But guess what? It's not easy when there's some twisting going on. And sometimes while we're waiting, we face some twisting in our life. Things become uncomfortable. Things are not easy. But remember, it's the uneasy times and the difficult times that make us strong. So that when all of that twisting comes together, what do we become like? We become like a strong rope hanging on to God in the midst of the difficulties of life. Where do you put your trust? I was thinking about that. Apprentices look to the experts. Students look to their teachers. Children look to their parents. Sometimes parishioners look to their pastors. But the faithful, as the psalmist would say, looks to God. And I love the psalmist's prayer there. Don't let anyone who puts their hope in you be put to shame. Shame means different things for different people. It could be maybe you've dealt with a business failure. Maybe you've dealt with a moral failure. Maybe you're going through an illness. Maybe you faced a defeat or a loss in life. Maybe somebody embarrassed you or something happened that was an embarrassment. And sometimes when we go through those kind of things, shame leads us to feel this sense of rejection. Rejection by other people, rejection even by God. But I want you to know this morning that God is not a God of shame. And God doesn't want to put shame on us. And even though we face shame at times in our lives, we can join with the prayer of the psalmist and say, Lord, my hope is in you. Don't let me be put to shame. I give myself to you. And when we do that, God has a way of wiping away our shame and restoring our trust in the midst of that. That is the offer of living in hope. Now, what happens when we take up that offer and walk in it? The psalmist talks about a couple things here. So I want to talk to you about the outcome of living in hope. First of all, God guides us on a meaningful path. The psalmist there talks about your way, your path, your direction, oh God, on multiple occasions in that psalm. And sometimes in life, we don't always see the truth of a situation. Sometimes we don't always see the truth of our own lives. Sometimes we fail to see what is really going on in our world. We think we know what's happening, but sometimes we need God's guidance. And God will do that because God is a God who directs us forward, not backwards. Forward. I talked about that last week. And when we get stuck along the path of life, guess what happens? Oftentimes when we get stuck, we feel like life is meaningless in those moments. But as we open ourselves up and trust God anew, God will guide us forward. Because living in hope, walking in hope, waiting in hope, always orients us forward in Christ. And then not only that, but God remembers us in our time of need. If you do a little study in Scripture, God's remembrances are some of the sweetest things that happen in Scripture. God remembers Noah. Noah and his family are in the ark. They're in this flood, and they wonder, is this ever gonna change? And it says that God remembered Noah and brought a strong wind, and the things started drying out. God remembered Rachel and Hannah when they were crying out to God because they couldn't get pregnant, and they became pregnant and gave birth. God remembered the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God sent Moses to bring the Hebrew children out of Egypt. Living, walking, and waiting in hope is about God remembering us in our time of need. God brought forth a righteous branch from the line of David so that he could save us. And God will continue to work in our lives today. We need more than just simple guidance. We need God's remembrances. Lord, remember us in this situation. And there's great comfort in knowing you aren't forgotten. Have you ever felt forgotten before? God does not forget us. So as we enter this Advent season once again, with its ups and downs and everything going on, let us join with the psalmist in orienting our lives afresh to God. And as we do, I think we will begin to sense God's guidance and remembrances. May we join with the psalmist and prophet in celebrating the hope of Advent by lifting our hands, our lives, our families, our friends, even our world to God, because Advent is about living in hope. Amen. Amen. Well, let's prepare our hearts this morning as we share in communion together. And as we do that, we always want to begin by joining together for our time of prayer. And so we're going to offer up our thanks and our confession together to the Lord. And so I'm going to invite you to join with me as we prepare to share at the table this morning. And so let's begin with our time of prayer. Let's do that. Would you join with me? In this season of stress, we are thankful for your presence that goes with us, O God. We confess how easy it is for us to slip off your path and forget your promises of hope. Forgive us, O Lord. Help us to walk in your ways once again, being alert to the signs of your grace in our midst. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, as we begin to share together, we want to invite all of you to join together at the table. We practice open communion, so anybody can share in communion, because the Lord invites us to receive of his grace. So as our deacons and deaconesses come this morning in preparation to help us out, we want to receive of the Lord as only the Lord can do in our hearts as we receive today. So would you come this morning? Thank you.
He said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take and eat of it, and do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together this morning. Later that evening, when they gathered together, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks. He said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink from it, and do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Well, let's stand together and take a few moments and greet one another, say hi, pass the blessing before we close out this morning there with our hymn.
Thank you.
Number 121, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. Come thou long expected Jesus.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sin.
Together there for our benediction on the back page. Go forth, knowing God's promises bring hope.
We put our hope in God's promises.
May God cause us to increase and give us strength so we may abound in hope. Go in peace. Amen.